comes from the book of Acts, Acts 4, 31 to 33, or you can take your bulletin and follow along. The Word of God says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the Word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Brother Ken, come share.
Happy Sabbath and a happy new year. I can say that today, being the very first day of the new year and the first Sabbath, this is an awesome time to be able to be here. And I want to sing a song that this may be a new year and you may do new things, but I love some of the older songs that I sang in 2020 and 2021, and that was "Let's Do It With Me." Okay, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Lest you forget, the year is 2022. And I wonder, is it just another year? Another year? Okay. Let's hear this sermon and get it over with and go home. Another year. Life as usual. Business as usual. My friends, we are living, without question, in the turning point of this nation. And you will see, if you're asleep, you will see the turning point of our church. And if you're asleep, you will see. The Canyonville Seventh-day Adventist Church, this church, in its special calling, is going to be used in a unique way, unlike any time that we've had for many, many years before, for such a time as this. I really do believe that. And so I'm excited about what God has planned for our church. And the fruits of our labor looking unto Jesus will be, this church will grow. And it's not going to come because we have a new pastor. It's not going to come because I happen to be a retired pastor. It's not going to come because Kelly's going to do it all. Let's pray for Kelly. It's going to come because, well, of the people that I'm looking at right now. And you're looking at right now. We're going to work together. But I need to be honest with you. You want me to be honest with you, don't you? I've met many Seventh-day Adventists in my life. I am a Seventh-day Adventist. And I've met Seventh-day Adventists who are not happy. I've met Seventh-day Adventists who are frustrated about their Christian life. I met Seventh-day Adventists that, I hate to tell you, but they don't have anything to tell. I've met Seventh-day Adventists who enjoy the world more than their relationship with God. And I've met Seventh-day Adventists who have a life, have their name in the church books, but they're empty. Is that you? Well, I have a special message from God, and is it this? It's not normal. It's not normal, and we do live in the new normal, but the new normal is still normal in the sense that it's not normal for us to keep on struggling with something that we've been having for all these years. It's not normal because why? Is it because You haven't heard a good sermon yet, or haven't studied the Bible long enough yet? No, it's not normal, because our God is great, our God is mighty, and there's nothing that our God cannot do. And so the problem is not God. God is ready. He's always been ready. I believe that he's even more ready in the year of 2022. And I'm going to say that often here through this sermon, because I want to remember it's the new year. But he's waiting for us. He's waiting for you and for me. We're no exception, my friends. We are no exception. Either there is power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or there's not. Either we have been told just kind of half the story of the Christian life, and I don't believe that part, or there's something more to Christianity that we haven't yet experienced. It's been my goal for several months, as I've shared some messages with you in regards to the Holy Spirit, to share a key principle. And I hope by this now time you understand this principle. You're getting it. And it goes like this. In fact, let's read it out loud together. It's one thing to have the Spirit dwelling in us, but it's altogether another thing to allow the Spirit to have us. Is that truth hitting home to you? Have you heard that expression before in the messages that I've shared? Has it hit home to you? Are you beginning to understand that there's a difference between having the Spirit in our lives and allowing the Spirit to take more control in us? Well, it certainly did have an effect and an influence in the early New Testament Christians in the book of Acts. And you can read all about it as you go with me. If you would, turn with me one more time to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Now, by this time, I would expect that if I was to examine your Bible, I'm not going to do that, by the way, if I was to examine your Bible, I would see a little bit more grease, hand grease, finger grease, on that page of Acts chapter 1. I would see maybe a little bit more of a wrinkled page there, because we've been turning to Acts chapter 1. We've been, as it were, looking through the window of the upper room with the disciples. And as we close this series of messages that we've called and titled Countdown to Pentecost, I want to take us one more time and to look in and to watch, see, observe, and learn from the 120 disciples there. They were gathered there in the upper room. They are already Christians. They already have the Holy Spirit. They already know, they've heard the great gospel commission. But Jesus says to them that already have all this, don't leave Jerusalem, don't leave Dodge, don't get out of town. But he says to them this first. Notice what he says to them to do first. Even though they know all of this, this is what I want you to do first. Acts chapter 1, everybody there? Take a look at it. Verses 4 and verse 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to what? Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. They had the Spirit, but this power from on high, the baptism of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, many different names, the former rain experience, had not yet happened. They had not experienced that yet. And so they waited, they prepared, they sought to meet the conditions required to receive this special baptism of the Spirit of God. And then what happened? Take a look at it. Chapter 2. We have not even gotten to chapter 2 yet, have we? Look at it. Chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2 as we begin. Then, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Not in one Honda Accord, but in agreement. In agreement. They were united. They were in agreement that we need this power from on high. We know about the great gospel commission. We are Christians. We love the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, but we need this anointing of the Spirit. We are united on this. And then take a look at verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, look at verse 4, first part. And they were what? All filled with the Holy Spirit. And we'll stop there. I used to read those words and I'd think, wow, that is awesome. That is something that happened in the past. Woo! That's a historical event. I want to remember that. Neat idea. Something happened in the past. Sure be nice if something like that happened with me. It was a foreign idea to me. It was not something that I personally experienced. And I wondered, is Pentecost just the high point of history of the Christian church, or could Pentecost happen again and again and again and again and again, and to you and to me? And then I started reading a little farther. I started reading further. And take a look at it. Verses 38 and 39. Everybody there with me in your Bibles? Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now look at verse 39. This is important. For the promise, this is the promise of the Father, the promise of the Father is to you and to your children, can I insert grandchildren too, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Has He called you? What do these words mean to you? Well, I'll tell you what they mean to me. What they mean to me is that the promise of the Holy Spirit is not something, a historical event. It is something that we can experience today. He told us it would be. And if anyone here realizes and acknowledges their need for this filling of the Spirit, and does that include you and me? Does it? Yes. Yes. Please don't think of your brother. Don't think, oh, it's just the pastor or the head elder or someone like this that really needs the power of the Spirit of God. Let's pray that they'll get that. May it start with us. May it begin with us. And I believe, my friends, today we live in the 21st century. We live at the turning point of our nation. We are going to experience things in this nation that I didn't fathom, that many of you, most of you here, have never even thought would even happen. You haven't seen anything yet. Could it happen now? Yes, you bet it will, and it will. None of us are an exception. God is ready. Are you ready? Am I ready? Now, I've titled this message today with the sermon title, "This is the Time." This is the time. And it's true. For some of us here today, this is a time that you and I can come before the Lord and we can ask Him for this special anointing, this special baptism of the Spirit of God in prayer. Now, why? Why can I say that? Why can I say that? Well, on the basis of the Word of God, we have sought to fulfill, we've sought to prepare our lives and fulfill the conditions necessary. And then those of us that have done that, this is the time, today, the very first day of the new year of 2022. This is the time. And some of you here today, you and I have, we've confessed our sins of unbelief. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's condition number one. Many of us have sought to put away sin in our lives, looking unto Jesus and to trust and obey Him in our lives. That's the second condition. Many of us have come to realize that God not only wants us to have victory over sin, but first of all, He wants us to know that He accepts us. And that if we put our trust in Jesus Christ and His righteousness, that we are accepted in Him, God accepts us. We can have the assurance that He is our Savior, our God. We can have that assurance and security. Condition number three. Others of us have set aside our differences and our desire for supremacy. Some of us in this church family have talked with people privately, called some people over the phone, written some letters, wanting to make things right between us and the Lord and that person. And I've spoken to some of you in the last several months, and you've expressed to me that you want to be more effective for the Lord. You want things to be different. You don't want things to be the same old. This is not the way it is. This is not, I want things to be different, Lord. I want You to come. And you know, that's music. That's great sounding. When God hears and knows the heart of those of His children who are in essence saying something like this. Take a look at it on the screen. Our commitment. By the grace of God, He has given me gifts of His Spirit. And by His grace, I want to become fruitful for the Lord. I want to make a saving impact on the world around me. I want Him to flow through me. Is that your commitment? Is that your prayer? Is that your desire? As I stand here before you today, in spite of the challenges many of us have faced, and this has been a tough year, it's been a tough 2 years, a historical 2 years. And yet, the Holy Spirit is still moving. Amen? He is still moving. And I'm looking in the eyes of many of you who can say from your heart these words. You can say from your heart, Lord, this is the time. Let's say it out loud together. Lord, this is the time. Maybe you're asking, well, Pastor Ken, why have you made it today? Couldn't have we made such a commitment 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago? Absolutely, you don't have to wait. You didn't have to wait until this time. You could do it now. And there are some of us here in our midst who have shown clear evidence and who have clearly know that the Holy Spirit is taking control of your life. So you don't have to wait until today. In fact, it's wonderful to realize that the reason why we have waited till today also, and we don't have to wait till today, is the fact that the filling of the Spirit is not just an event that happens just once in your life, but it's a daily experience. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine where is an excess. In other words, don't continue to drink on wine again and again where is excess and let it control you, but be continually under the control of the Holy Spirit. A new, fresh supply of grace each and every day of our lives. On the other hand, many of you are not acquainted with the fact that the Holy Spirit not only has the ministry of dwelling in us, but the Holy Spirit who dwells in us wants to take more control in us. And you weren't aware of the fact that there are conditions that need to be met. And you weren't aware of what those conditions were. And I trust that many of you are grateful that we've taken the time and we're seriously considering each one of them necessary so that we can be ready to be filled with the Spirit of God. And so I ask you once again, what happened at Pentecost? What happened at Pentecost when the believers came together, when they confessed their sin to God, when they set aside their differences, when they confessed their unbelief, when they came close together in Christian love? What happened? Well, the Bible says that they prayed. We've read that. The Bible says they prayed. And believe it or not, we have at our fingertips the final elements of words of what they prayed in their prayer. You know what they prayed? After meeting the conditions, after preparing their lives, you know what they prayed? They prayed for a fitness to meet men. That's what they prayed. We have what they prayed. Acts of Apostles, page 37. For a fitness to meet men. And it's beautiful. Having put aside their differences, confessed their sins of unbelief, now in faith, they prayed that prayer for a fitness to meet men. For a fitness to meet ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. That my words, and they were praying that their words would have a saving influence on people's lives. Are you and I ready to pray that prayer? Are we ready to pray that prayer? If someone was to come to me and ask, well, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What is the filling of the Spirit? What does it really mean? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a fitness to meet men. God wants us to be fit. He wants us to be ready. Recently, I learned, as you have learned today, that we're going to have a series of meetings. And it's going to be in the month of what? February. God wants us to have a fitness to meet men. And ladies and gentlemen, our neighborhood, our young people. How could God take someone like Peter, babbling Peter, and use him to win 33,000 people to Christ? Because he had prepared his life to have a fitness to meet men. And I want to encourage you to make that a part of your prayer, your daily prayer. Oh God, how I desire to be under your Holy Spirit's power. I want to have a fitness to meet men. To enable you, my friend, and me to be able to speak, have the Spirit of God speak through us and through the unique spiritual gifts that God has given to us, and to have a saving influence. I am not here today, and neither are you here today, to command and tell the Holy Spirit what to do. That's not our mission. That is not our purpose. But we are here today and invited here today to say, in essence, Lord, I am ready when you are. You're ready to pray that prayer, Lord, I am ready when you are. There's a lady whose name is Ellen G. White, and I believe God gave her the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And she's written a lot of books and had a lot to say, believe it or not, even on this subject that I'm sharing with you these last several months and more. And I have found a statement that she wrote that is perhaps one of the clearest and most helpful ones that I would share with you today. And if you have the 9 volumes of the testimonies, this one is found in volume 1 of the testimonies, page 121. Volume 1, 121. Notice on the screen. When the servants of God pray for His Spirit and blessing. By the way, you and I are servants of God. It sometimes comes immediately, but it is not always then bestowed. At such times, and this is encouraging, faint not, let your faith hold fast to the promise that it will come. Let your trust be fully in God. And often, this is really interesting, often the blessing will come when we need it most. And here's an example. And you will unexpectedly receive help from God when you are presenting the truth, insert in truth, maybe presenting that brochure to the upcoming meetings to unbelievers. And will be enabled to what? Speak the word with what? Clearness and power. Oh, that's a powerful statement. That's an encouragement statement. Volume 1 of the Testimonies, page 121. Just think about it. Individuals we will be speaking with will suddenly be convicted of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, having prayed for a fitness to meet men, the disciples were used of God. And we read about it. You're in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Let's go down to verse 41. What does it say there? Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about how many? 3,000 souls were added to them. Wow. What is God going to do through the Canyonville Seventh-day Adventist Church as we allow Him to fill us with His Spirit and enliven, energize the gifts of the Spirit that He's given to us? What is God going to do? Excuse the English, but we ain't seen nothing yet. We haven't seen anything yet. It would be an incredible covenant of faith that we could take together this morning, that each of us who has earnestly been seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we can go from this church and be used of God to bring 1, 2, 3 more people to Jesus Christ, to invite them to come to Jesus, to invite them to come to the meetings, to invite them to come to have Bible studies, to invite them to come to church. Something that maybe we haven't had the courage to do. But as the Spirit of God takes control of our lives, He gives us the unction to function. I want to tell you a story. Her name was June. And June had a falling out with her boss. And is that a good idea, to have a falling out with your boss? Not a very good idea. The rest of the story is June was a grouch in her job, because, and many of them did not know why, a loved one of hers passed away, and she let this take control of her, and it's natural for that to happen. And she became a grouch very moody, down, 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 depressed. And then it happened. In spite of her depression, in spite of her grieving, she met with God and began to understand what it meant to prepare her life for the filling of the Spirit. And she received this anointing of the Spirit. And the next day, she went to work with a smile on her face, something that hadn't been there for a long time. A genuine smile on her face. And she went right into the boss's office, something you don't do every day. And she went to the boss's office and he says, I want you to know, I am so sorry for being such a grouch at work. Will you forgive me? That was a miracle. A miracle. A miracle that never would have happened unless she allowed the Holy Spirit to take control of her life. Now, one of the ladies that was in that office, well, boy, that particular lady, she was very, antagonistic towards her. And what did June do? What June could have never done before, June opened the door of her office, this antagonistic lady, with a bouquet of flowers in her hand and said, I care about you. Forgive me for the spirit I've had these last several weeks. Can we make up? Forgive me. A mission impossible, made possible only as she allowed the Spirit of God to take control of her life. Do you know anybody in your life that is unlovely and unlovable? And you would like to be able to love them, like to be able to reach them, like to be able to live with them? It's possible. It's a mission possible as we allow the Spirit of God to take control of our lives. You see, the filling of the Spirit is going to turn us into a more effective, fruitful person for the Lord. And going to help us to energize our gifts of the Spirit. And I ask you today, do you want that? Do you and I want that? What is it that we are anticipating? What are we anticipating for when the Holy Spirit comes and takes more control of our lives? What are we thinking? Well, I'm going to have this wonderful feeling from the balls of my feet up to the top of my head, this wonderful feeling. Whoa, I've heard it that way. Or I'm going to speak in tongues. No, not necessarily. That's not what you're looking for. But rather, once you are filled with the Spirit, God will place in your heart a new, growing, glowing awareness that you are privileged to be functioning for God. And now, once more, the abilities that God has given you will be energized, where before they were fast asleep. Take a look at the screen for a moment. My friends, if you have made any New Year's resolutions, I pray that they will include these. Put these right up towards the top. Number one, to be sure I have met the conditions for being filled with the Holy Spirit. In your bulletins today, your bulletin insert, there was a sheet that gives you an opportunity to consider if you want to obtain the messages that I've been giving about how to meet the conditions for the Holy Spirit, so you can listen to them again and again and again, and to be able to understand these things and apply them throughout the years of your life. So to seek to meet them so that you will daily be filled with the Spirit of God. Secondly, to discover and use my spiritual gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. There was a church, And I'm not going to tell you the name of the church or where the church is, but this particular church was studying about the gifts of the Spirit. And they responded, the people came to the pastor, in fact, and said, "Pastor, we have prepared our lives, we are filled with the Spirit, but we don't know what our gifts are. Some of us have no idea what spiritual gifts are." Well, Kelly may have spiritual gifts. Pastor Ken may have spiritual gifts, but I don't have any gifts. I know some of you said that. I've never met a Christian that doesn't have some gifts. They may be buried, but I want to help you to know how to unbury them. Well, in this particular church, they met together and they said, "Pastor, we would appreciate it. Could you preach some series on sermons and talks or classes on spiritual gifts?" And he said he would. And so they begin to pray. They begin to prepare their hearts. They begin to pray among themselves. And they said, "Oh God, please, let's ask, please reveal to us what our gifts are. Lord, you have given us gifts, and we agree with that. We affirm that we have gifts, but now show us what those gifts are. Are you ready to pray that prayer?" So when they finish praying, the messages the pastor gave were given, and they knew what their gifts were. Some had many, some had one. And it didn't matter how many. They were grateful for them. And then the pastor shared with them this instruction. The instruction that is in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12. And I'm going to have us notice that here. Right here. Notice it. "And God gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the," what? "For the perfecting of the saints." And the pastor said, "Now what? What is the reason why God has given these spiritual gifts? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry." Did you know that your pastor, the future pastor coming, did you know that your head elder, Kelly, is not the one that is called to do the work of the ministry necessarily? Himself? Pastor Ken here standing before you, I'm not called to do the work of the ministry by myself. You and I are called to do the work of the ministry. We're in this together. Have you ever felt like you're in the kitchen and you're washing the dishes by yourself? Or preparing the meal and everything by yourself, and it's such a load. No wonder some pastors are burnt out because they're trying to do the work of the ministry and be the pastor at the same time. May we be prepared for the new pastor so he doesn't have to do that. And so they read that scripture. He read that scripture with them, and they recognized, and they were... Their gifts, being filled with the Spirit, their gifts were energized for service. And this church body was called to do the work of the ministry. And each of the 120 members in that church family were placed in some particular ministry. And in this particular church, there was one lady whose husband was the president of a bank in that little town. And she came to her husband and she says, "Pastor, or my husband, I've gone through this series and I have learned that I have the gift of hospitality." And her husband already knew that. And people in the church already knew that. "I already know that Jan May has the gift of hospitality. I already know that. But she came to see it all the more. And she says, we need to do something about it. I just feel like we need to do something about it." "Well, what do you think we need to do about it?" her husband says. "Well, we need to build onto the house." "Well, what do you mean?" Well, I would like to suggest that we build 40 by 40 room behind the house. Dear, that's another house behind the house. Yes, but we have enough money. We can afford it. What are you and God up to? And so she said, well, I would like to have this room, and I don't want it carpeted. I would like it to have it tiled. I don't want to have beautiful drapery and furniture so much. Beautiful furniture. No, that's not necessary. All you ask, dear, we'll do that. We'll plan on that. They had enough money to do it. Wow. They called the contractor. The building project began, and it was finally finished. And she began to invite the people that worked for the bank for her husband. And she got to thinking, well, who am I going to invite? She didn't invite the upper-ups, no, and then go down, no. No, she invited the custodian and the vice president. And now a number of other people there. And they had a wonderful time together. It was a quiet time. A time of laughter, a time of sharing and caring. And they looked at her and they could see obvious that she had the gift of hospitality. She was such a gracious hostess. The food was good. The games were fun. The fellowship was best. So she was talking with church family members the following week. And they said, well, did you have any success? Did you have any success? And she said, well, I'm not really looking for success. I only want to be faithful with the gifts that God has given me. He'll bless in His time, in His way. And I like that. I pray that you'll pray a prayer like that. And so the next week she invited more people, and the next week she invited more people, and it wasn't long until someone came up to her and they said something like this. It was a young man in this case. He says, I detect that you have something that I don't have. And she said, well, sit down. And the Holy Spirit impressed upon her mind, this is the one, a divine appointment. And she says, well, what do you want to tell me? He says, well, I want you to tell me what it is that makes you the way you are. Are you ready to answer that question? You see, when we allow the Holy Spirit to move through our lives and through the abilities that God has given us, we can exemplify His character. People are drawn to beauty. Well, she says, are you sure you want to know? And he said, well, I think so. And she says, I want to tell you, I know a person that loves me, and my relationship with this person has no strings attached, and that person is Jesus. And she had learned how to share in a very simple way, how to share Jesus with them. And to invite them to a Bible study or to a series of meetings. She had learned to do that, and she did it. God was with her. God saw her through. Now, in that very same church, she had other people who were allowing their gifts to be used of the Lord. There was an auto mechanic. Did you know that auto mechanics is a gift of the Spirit? Come to the spiritual gift seminar and I'll share with you why. He had the spiritual gift of auto mechanics. And not only was he able to fix the vehicle, but he was honest and dependable. And it wasn't long until people began to say, we'll call him Bill. Bill, what is it about you? You're different. I'm thankful I can come to you. I'm thankful I can depend on you. What makes you tick? And then there was a woman who had a beautiful voice, singing voice, but people could tell she didn't sing to entertain. She sang because she had something about her love for Jesus. What is it about you? What is it that you have? I would like to know this. Then there was a woman, not very educated woman, but she had the gift of encouragement. And wow, could she write letters? Could she write letters? And they were, you felt like you were being in the presence of God, and that He was just hugging you and giving you hope. God used that woman. God was using these people in this church family. And so a year came to an end. And there was a baptismal service. And the 120 people looked around and they saw that the church was crowded with another 120 people. And the lady who had the gift of hospitality, she looked at the people next to her that were being prepared for baptism. And there were 40 people who were won to Christ and wanted to become a part of the church family. And the auto mechanic, and the lady that sang, and each person doing what they could with the gifts that God had given to them. Because now their gifts were not dormant, laying unknown and unshared, but now they were energized for service. I ask you today, my friends, is that what you want to do? Does this make sense to you? Do you really want the Holy Spirit to take greater control of your life? Or is this going to be business as usual? The choice is you. God is ready right now. He's ready at the door of your heart this very moment. He's just waiting for you and me to acknowledge, Lord, this is the time. This is the time. Is it the time for you? Is it time for me? I would invite us to take this time now and pray. And the Spirit of God is impressing upon my heart, just in the moments that we have, there are some of us here that would like to even pray a short prayer, the burden in your heart for your church family, a brief prayer. And then I will close in prayer as we come before our God in prayer. Let's, our heads bowed, our eyes closed. There are deacons who have a mic and they're ready to take it. If you would like to pray a brief prayer, we would bring this mic to you. Who would like to pray? And ultimately, I will close. The deacons can reach the people as soon as possible. Thank you.
Oh, dear Father in heaven, I know you have many precious souls out there that you want to live with you for eternity.
That's right.
And here we are. Please pour your Spirit out upon us.
Please, Lord Jesus.
So we can have the courage and the ability to meet men, to meet these precious souls. And to speak of your love and your power and your wonders.
Amen.
Put this in us, Father. We cannot do it on our own.
No, we can't.
Give us this gift to reach those that you love.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister. Anyone else want to pray a short prayer? Unite with that person in prayer.
Oh, Father, thank you for this privilege you've given us to open our hearts to the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would do that just now.
Yes, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Please, Lord Jesus, we're willing. Help us to be more willing.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, give me the specific direction to go.
Yes, Jesus.
I want to do your work.
Yes.
I want to be attractive for you.
Yes, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, God.
And now, precious Father, as we come to this moment that you've been waiting for, we want to claim the promise this morning, the one you gave to your disciples that was meant for us as well. We claim the promise of Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. O Lord, we have sought to meet the conditions. And now we come to you humbly. We're not here, Lord, to command you. We're here to wait upon you. And on behalf of these people that have prayed and have in their hearts hungry and thirsty for more of you, we claim this promise. And we thank you. We thank you that you will empower us and enable us in your own time and your own way. And we pray this precious prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Sing with me now as we close on the screen. Beautiful song. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord, I give my heart to you. Yes, Lord, my will I yield anew. Love me, guide me, fill my soul. Yes, Lord, take full control.
The best is yet to come. God is ready. Are you ready? I believe you are. Give God the glory. Have a wonderful 2022.